And we're thanking Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon for, of course, for presenting the podcasts and all of Ira's work on JoeBucksFan.com. Get knockout savings during the Summer Sales Challenge at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. That's right. We're challenging all other dealers to give you our lowest prices and payments on a certified pre-owned Cadillac like a 2015 SRX for only $25,985. Plus, every certified Cadillac comes with a 6-year warranty, roadside assistance, and more. The Summer Sales Challenge is on. Visit EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. Plus tax, tag, title, and dealer fees. See a dealer for limited warranty details. EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com is the place to start. And this is your final chance to get made-to-move clearance savings at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa. Brian Danahy, general manager, he's got the final countdown of the Ed Morris Summer Sales Challenge. Don't miss out on the 2017 CTS sedan, just $329. It's all coming to an end. Rush to Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or click edmorriscadillactampa.com. CTS courtesy vehicle, approved credit, 39-month lease, 10K annual miles. All the details are at the dealership. The offer expires at the end of the month. It's hard to believe summer is ending, but the great summer offers continue at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Check out their websites to get it all started. So here we are again, Ira, live at One Buck Palace, right off the practice fields. But Ira, before we talk about Ed Morris and some of their greatness, as we usually do at this point, Mike Evans, not practicing again. Quan Alexander, clearly he's hurt. Something's going on. We don't know details. Bottom line, what's your thoughts here? This is concerning to Bucks fans. We're talking about the two, arguably the two best players on the team.
Legal, let's not make more out of this than it is. I saw Mike Evans walk off the field and walk back into the building. He had no difficulty. He wasn't limping. I think it might be a lower leg tweak. Will he play Saturday? Maybe not. You fantasy guys better not be doing preseason football because you're probably not going to have Mike Evans. You're probably not going to have Quan Alexander. You know, you're not going to have DeMar Dotson. They're not going to be out there. You're going to get a face full of Jameis Winston, though, and a face full of Jacquizz Rodgers. Look, Lee, compared to what's going on around the league, we just saw Odell Beckham. Giants fans were holding their breath. That guy might not be ready for their opener. Nobody's talking about Quan Alexander and Mike Evans not being ready for Hard Rock Stadium. I would be shocked if that was the case. So the Bucks are going to go in full bore September 10th. That's what matters. Saturday night doesn't matter. Nobody's going to remember anything. The fourth exhibition game's a joke. We all know that. They're not going to play anyway, even if they're healthy. You know, we're 3 weeks into camp. These things are going to happen. But I still think on the health front, and Buck fans, don't hold this against me if something happens Saturday. But if you were to tell Jason Light and Dirk Cutter that on, you know, August 22nd, this is the health of the team, they would have been thrilled. They'd be thrilled with this. As far as some serious injuries, these are minor questions. So, Lee, the Bucks are ready. They're going to go into Miami with confidence. They're going to go hunt Jay Cutler down. And we'll see what happens Saturday against the Browns. But through two preseason games, Lee, this first-team offense looks like it's ready from the start. We haven't always seen that here in Tampa.
Rarely have we seen that in Tampa. Brent Grimes looks to be a green light for the first game.
That's right.
You know, he's out there working. You know, I mean, he's not practicing, but he's out. He's doing agility drills, working out after practice, wearing orange fluorescent shoes. I kidded him today. That, dude, jogging in your neighborhood, you'll never get hit by a car. You can see that a mile away.
You would call these precautionary. Precautionary.
Very much so. As far as Quan goes, Jenna Lane had reported it was a hamstring. Now, the Bucks are being very tight-lipped about what's going on. I spoke with someone of knowledge the night it happened. I asked, you know, hey, what's going on with Quan? And was told, we'll know more tomorrow because of tests. Well, tomorrow was yesterday being Tuesday. And the Bucks still have not commented on what the issue is, but I don't think it's anything serious, like what you're saying. And I don't remember this guy's name, but Sunday when I wrote the story on JoeBucksFan.com that Quan was dinged, somebody on Twitter just went after me as if I molested his daughter or something.
Well, you how saw dare her walk you, off the field.
How dare you write this? You're fabricating stuff. You're twisting Dirk Cutter's words. Cutter even commented on his press conference. He was asked about it, and he said he's not sure, which is generally the case.
He also volunteered, Steve, that Chris Baker's a little dinged up,
and
I didn't even ask about it.
This guy on Twitter just raked me over the coals. Well, up yours, pal, because I was right. This character who claims I was fabricating stuff was actually at training camp and saw what I saw, he'd think different. So,
Steve, we're not going to get a lot of health details out of Dirk Cutter. He's made that clear.
No, that's fine, Ira. Look, you know, it's a big deal. You know, we don't really know if it is a hamstring from, you know, as was reported.
Hamstrings are not to be trifled with.
That's a big deal. A hamstring, serious. Serious injury, especially for a guy like Kwon Alexander who relies on speed. If you take a half step away from Kwon Alexander, he's not the same player. Grimes actually was on the practice field yesterday. He practiced yesterday. So he's clearly ready to roll.
I don't even want to think about going into Miami with that good running game that the Dolphins have. And you're playing Kendall Beckwith, you know, at middle linebacker. Or something like that.
He does play well. You're right, because he's so green. But he is good against the run. It's the pass.
But he's green.
He's very green.
Mike Evans, got to say, Ira, you know, you requested a question from Mr. Evans.
I waited him out, Steve.
You waited him out, and the Bucs wouldn't let anybody talk to Mike Evans today. So that's a little odd.
I tried to sneak in one question over there, Lee. I got shut down.
Shut down by a
22-year-old PR assistant.
That's generally not a good sign when they're hiding a player.
I did look, and he was not limping. He didn't seem to be in any discomfort. Yeah,
limping and sprinting down the field are two different things. I mean, it could be a back or a neck or something like
Lee,
that.
Lee, when it comes to Mike Evans, every little thing is under scrutiny, and deservedly so.
Yes, although it's not as five-alarm fire as it would have been last year when your best receiver outside of Mike Evans was Adam Humphries. This year, you know, DeSean Jackson and Chris Godwin could probably pick up the slack.
He's still the engine that makes that passing game go.
No question.
I will prove in the fantasy draft.
No question. I'm not trying to trivialize Evans whatsoever, but it's not as bad as what it would have been last year. Now, real quick, I did see Gerald McCoy go down today. He stayed down on the grounds long after a play was over. He gingerly walked off the practice field. I put that out on Twitter just in case people didn't read my notes column on JoeBucksFan.com later today, Wednesday. I did note that he was on the practice field some 15, 20 minutes after practice. So if he had any kind of remotely serious injury at all, he would have been getting treated in the building. He would have been hovering out on the practice field after practice. So as I said on Twitter, it's probably nothing. My guess is it's nothing.
Steve, I'm starting to think that any of these guys, including McCoy maybe even, but Alexander, Dotson, Grimes, Evans, I'm starting to think, Steve, if there's any question at all, and I mean any question, you're not going to see him Saturday night. They're going to err on the side of caution. And I don't have a problem with that. I really, these guys have nothing to prove.
No. It's playing Saturday is not going to do him any help.
You know, give Bernard Reedy some more snaps. I got no problem with that.
I mean, it's not going to help them physically is what I mean. You know, of course, playing helps your chemistry and all that other stuff. But as you were talking about Mike Evans being the engine of the Buccaneers, well, Ira, Cadillac, that's the engine of this podcast. Ed Morse, Cadillac, Tampa.
Lee. He's beating himself every week. He's topping himself with these segues.
Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. That's where we start our searches, EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com.
You're comparing these great companies to a guy who might have an ankle problem? Is that what you're trying to do here?
No, he's Mike Evans.
Talking about Mike Evans going off the field here, Lee. I mean, prematurely. All of a sudden, it's Ed Morse Cadillac.
Well, Mike Evans is a Cadillac kind of receiver. He's top shelf.
Ira, you've called him the Buccaneers' best football player.
I have.
And you stick by that. So he said, cut me a break, Kaufman. Come on. Give me a break.
I would be disappointed if he is not a first team, all pro. That means two wide receivers in the league. We heard him on Hard Knocks. He's putting himself in that class, and he wants to be the best.
Now, we're going to get to that, Ira, actually next.
I've got another question for you.
Well, of course, the offers, the great offers, just like the NFL preseason, the great offers at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, those August offers end right now. We have our couple of ads on JoeBucksFan.com. You can see the great prices on the ATS, one of my favorites, the XD5, the crossover, EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. Get out there this weekend.
We urge our listeners, Lee, to just go in for a visit, and I think they'll walk away very impressed.
All right, Ira, here we go. Dirk Koetter, more often than not, in the last week, going all the way back to Jacksonville, and even a little bit before that, he gets off the practice field. He doesn't like what he sees. Team sluggish. Today, he was down on the effort.
That is a strong word.
Now, you've been around this game a long time. What the hell is going on here? People think this is a playoff team, and the coach every other day saying practice sucks. The effort's down.
You know what it reminded me of, Lee? When I talked to Derek Brooks a couple of weeks ago during Gruden's press conference, and afterwards I got Brooks by myself, and I brought him back to, I asked him about the change from the bye week going forward with Mike Smith's defense, and we talked about that sorry-ass Atlanta game, which I think is the night Lynch went into the Ring of Honor. The Falcons did whatever they wanted on offense, 31 first downs and no punts. That's absurd. And I witnessed this. Brooks, Sapp, and Lynch at a certain point, couldn't look at the video board. And when I talked to Brooks about it that night, and he was talking about, you know, I think Devontae Freeman, you can't catch a 20-yard pass on 3rd and 10. That's not the Bucs. And he said, I questioned the effort that night. For Brooks to question effort, he knows how strong a word that is. That's a dirty word at one Buck place going back to the Monty Kiffin days. And there's Dirk Cutter standing at the podium, Steve. Effort. It takes a lot for a coach to question effort, and your point's well taken. Lee, this is going on for more than a week now. This guy is not happy with the practices. Now, is that because Cutter has unrealistic expectations of what kind of energy he wants and the passion? But he does not look like a happy man right now, Lee. He doesn't.
This is an alarming pattern because Cutter himself has said they have high expectations. And if the effort's not there, or he's not happy with the practice, or he makes these guys run gassers because they're, for lack of a better word, loafing, I guess, this is not a good pattern. They're not a good pattern at all. And we might as well address the 500-pound elephant here. And we talked about this before with the podcast, Ira and I. This swaggy character and all his antics. And I asked you, Ira, before, I'll ask you right now. You know, I wrote about this last night with this stunt with the tree.
It's good TV.
Well, it's good TV, and the comments on JoeBucksFan.com overnight were like, oh, you bunch of old geezers, you don't get it. What would Sapp's reaction be with a guy coming in off the street, which he was a free agent, and doing all these antics? What would Sapp have said?
You know, Steve, it's different if Gerald McCoy's doing it. He's a 5-time Pro Bowl player and proven himself to everybody in this locker room and everybody in this building, and he's got the second big contract to show for it, or you know, the last big contract extension. This guy has proven nothing to Buck fans, Buck executives, Buck ownership, and Buck players. And while right now it looks like just a jolly guy who likes to have fun, Steve, I don't want to draw attention to myself, DeKemper, but you got to admit it. I had this peg since March. I came on this podcast and reported what happened when I survived the Isbits driving in Phoenix.
Wait a minute. Did you just say that you don't want to draw attention to yourself?
I don't want to draw attention, but I will. But I will because you won't.
Okay, go ahead.
And when I was told, you know, by somebody close to the Redskins, good player, comma, doesn't like to practice. Now, part B is certainly true. We want to see part A, and I think the three of us and a lot of Buck fans are going to be watching this guy with a great deal of scrutiny. Again, Saturday night, I assume he's playing against the Browns. And certainly in Miami, he has not distinguished himself in training camp. And if he's done one thing, he's lived up to his reputation.
I will just say this. We all know how Sapp flipped out when Keyshawn blew off
OTAs.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, this guy, when it was voluntary, he was not to be found. And he's doing all these I imagine Sapp would have his hands around his neck.
And Steve, now it's reached the players. This is not a media creation. You saw the show last night. You saw that top 10 list. It was number one, Stephen. Number one on the hit parade.
Yeah,
and that's coming from the players.
Just so people know, during a skit, they had a top 10 list, and we wrote about
things
it over the weekend.
Things you won't see, right? Things you will not see.
Yeah, things you will not see. And number one was Swaggy not having 3 snaps in a row in practice.
I mean, Steve. I mean, is that something you're proud of?
No. And I didn't read the comments under Lee's post about that. People calling us geezers, which is kind of funny.
They did.
I got to go back and read it. Personally, the Hard Knocks thing with Baker, I thought it was funny. I got no problem. The guy's having lunch. If we're going to be critical of a guy being ridiculous at lunchtime right. With his fellas.
Tongue in a tree.
It's lunchtime. Do whatever you want. These guys do all kinds of things.
We're not
all kinds
against
of things.
This guy.
Yeah.
Well, we want the guy to be fabulous. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just. It didn't bug me just because it's lunch. You know, if it's on the field or getting in the back of Jameis's interview on national TV making faces, you know.
That's juvenile.
Right, that's juvenile.
Running down the kickers.
When you're wearing the uniform is different than, you know, when you're having lunch to me. So I didn't care about that aspect of it. But I don't think we're out of line at all. We've been all over Baker since you were told at the owners' meetings that his guy doesn't like to practice. Well, you know what? When 30-year-old players, and he turns 30 in October, when they don't like to practice, those are the guys whose careers usually nosedive in a hurry.
Bingo.
Because they're not – you got to stay in optimum shape. The older you get, the more important it is. Grimes will tell you that. DeSean Jackson will tell you that. Chris Baker – Gerald McCoy is out there calling him the fattest guy he's ever seen. They're sharing a hot dog on the sidelines, which is you're not supposed to do.
And Isbits made a good point the other day, Lee. That's a first. It's first for Isbitz. We've had a lot of 100 podcasts. You know, he made one good point, but I'm going to give him his due. He said, Lee, and it's very true, put yourself in Clinton McDonald's place. He's a veteran, got a Super Bowl ring in Seattle. They work hard in Seattle. He's busting his butt. He's having a pretty good camp. He's showing up in the games.
Yep.
And when I asked Cutter the other day about the who's going to start next to McCoy and is it a competitive situation, his answer was it's going to be a rotation. That's his way of saying Baker's going to start. McDonald's is going to be the third guy. They're all going to play. Well, to me, that's not a good enough answer if I'm Clint McDonald. It's not.
Yeah, I think everybody's looking at Baker as saying, okay, well, you don't get a good grade for April through August. Not a good grade at all, son. But all that matters is September. If this guy doesn't show up, or if he's a walking, ailing back waiting to happen because of how he conducts himself and that he's not practicing, then, you know, he'll be a quick bust and we'll forget about him. But
And that's not going to look good on Jason Light either.
No. And you know what? Right now, this guy's the antithesis of James. We saw Hard Knocks last night. We saw how, you know, James gets in guys' faces because they take a play off in practice. Baker takes off practice.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you know what? Let's not forget. And part of this, I think, I don't want to even call it an issue, but our scrutiny of Baker is look where he plays. He plays defensive tackle. They're hoping that he's so good and comes with this reputation that he actually might take a double team away from McCoy once in a while. And he's needs to be at a very high standard. And, man, he's going to have to juice it up in a hurry in Miami when it's probably 94 degrees out against a playoff team.
And make teams think twice about committing extra resources to McCoy, just like that's what DeSean Jackson is going to suppose to have that effect on Mike Evans. It's the same type of thing in the middle of that defensive line. They're killing McCoy right now. Chip here with the back. And by the way, McCoy's having a heck of a camp.
Yes, he is.
And boy, is he quick off the ball. Wow.
Just so people don't think we're trying to alienate Baker, he's setting himself up to fail. I mean, you know, if like you touched upon earlier, if he's out there blowing up people, all these antics are welcome.
And nobody's going to talk about it.
Nobody's going to say a word. But right now, it's like, you know, he's a big-time proven player right now.
He's
big
put
time.
A bit of a target on his back, Steve. A bit of a target.
Well, and you could also look, I guess, the other side of the coin is Jason Light probably did the same scouting that you did at the owners' meetings, you know, prior to then. And somebody probably told him, great player, shows up on Sunday, doesn't like to practice.
Right.
And Light looked at the film again, said, all right, this is what we got to pay him. We'll take it. We'll do it. You know, so they probably knew exactly what they were getting. Although, again,
but you got to be a really good player to compensate for some of these other things.
I just think it's a bad look for a team, a young team that's hoping to turn the corner and get into the playoffs. And I always bring up the Sapp issue. I think Sapp would have gone bananas with this guy. You know, with his antics because he's taking off practice. He did with Keyshawn, and Keyshawn was a hell of a lot more established player than Chris Baker has ever been.
Yeah, the taking off practice would have driven Sapp mad. But you know what? Maybe management back then wouldn't have brought in a guy like Baker knowing how Sapp would react. So maybe they thought Baker was a good fit. I don't know. We'll see. But
right now, the fact that Baker was number one on that list, right now, that's funny. It's humorous. But
telling.
If the guy gets hurt week one or doesn't show up big time, it's not going to be so funny. And the players... It has an effect on the players.
Sure does.
These players see everything.
Yeah, and it doesn't jibe with Jameis, who's the face of the franchise. It just doesn't jibe. Look at now. Let's go to Hard Knocks.
He's getting in Peyton Barber's face for going. You know.
Let's go to Hard Knocks, Ira. You watched the show. What was your beverage of choice during the program?
Peach iced tea.
Peach iced tea. A little peach ice cream to go with it, or
a little sherbet.
A little sherbet
later on. The show's getting better, Lee. I slapped him around for week one, part of week two.
Speaking of geezers, we got Ira drinking peach iced tea and sherbet. What flavor? Rainbow?
Rainbow. Yeah, absolutely. Ben and Jerry's rainbow. That's less calories, man. Less
calories than what? A beet salad?
Then ice cream.
I got you.
The show's getting a little better. You know, you didn't like the Fleming stuff. I thought the Fleming stuff was interesting. They always find that guy. They always find the Fleming. You know, the guy trying to make the team.
Yeah, I overreacted about Fleming. It was interesting at first, but then kind of it tailed off because he was getting ripped up by Mike Smith, and then the inevitable happened.
Dolly Marpet with a ukulele. I felt a little bad for him. He's all by himself on the beach. You know, a can of blonde come sauntering by for Ali Marpet.
Oh, let me mention this.
Up against the tree playing a ukulele. I felt bad for him.
Let me mention this. And I think this is another example of creative funny business by Hard Knocks. We heard Mike Smith ripping Fleming. Okay, now I was at practice, and I can guarantee you the exact same tone and the exact same language, which I quoted.
This is in Jayville?
Yes, in Jacksonville. The exact same tone and language that Mike Smith used in a freakout at Ryan Smith. That was the audio that they used for Fleming. I would bet $150.
Now, if print journalists try to stunt like that, Lee, we've been laughed out of the business.
Well, I know I to go to a Steve's creative editor.
You don't do stuff like that.
I think that's not creative.
That's fraud.
I think I pointed this out in the last podcast. I know we talked about it when we last got together for a podcast that, you know, they're setting up the scene of Jason Light and Dirk Cutter making the final decision on Roberto Aguayo, and they made it look like, and we know the timeline, the decision was made the morning after the Cincinnati game. So they're setting the scene as if Light and Cutter at the break of dawn are in the office drinking coffee, making the final decision, when the scene they showed of the alleged sunrise was actually sunset. As I wrote on JoeBucksFan.com last night, Tuesday night, it was a drone, and I've seen the drone before hovering over. It was a drone with one Buck place in the foreground, the flag in the middle, that giant Bucks flag in the middle, and the horizon in the background. Well, everybody that's ever been out here knows that flag is west of one Buck place, not east.
Only DeKemper puts the longitude and the latitude together. It's remarkable.
So that was actually sunset. But they were trying to make it look like it was dawn. It was sunset. So if you believe the imagery, Light and Cutter were in Cutter's office during the Bengals game.
Steve, all I care about is whether it was DeKemper's drone going over Rachel Watson's backyard. That's all I care about.
But I'm not that much of a pervert, but it's interesting thought.
Look how perceptive our comrade is here.
Absolutely. He wrote that up as well.
I think the show was a little bit better last night.
Now, I'm going to just close that with there's a chance, of course, that Mike Smith used the same language for Fleming, but very,
unlikely.
Very suspect. The other thing, which we talked about around the field today, you know, a lot has been made. Dirk Cutter has had some heated back and forths with Roy Cummings, your former colleague at the Tampa Tribune, the last, not on Tuesday's practice, but on
Sunday
and then Tuesday, with a strong follow-up on Tuesday that I did egg on a little bit if you watch the video. Anyway.
Come on, you're better than that, Isbert.
Well, I didn't start it.
You're not better than that.
It was fun. It's fun. Anyway. So,
Roy was suggesting that the gassers
correct.
From Saturday came as a response to what Cutter said to my question, quote, sluggish practice. And Roy kept, you know, pressing Cutter on that, and Cutter was saying, we got to get ready for Miami September 10th. Gassers, no big story.
Right. So
here comes the creative editing.
Then we go to Hard Knocks last night, and we see the team running gassers, and you hear Cutter's voice in the background saying it's because we can't effing do anything
and
right.
I assume that was from Saturday.
Right.
I
so you can't
no
you hear,
Saturday,
hear Cutter's voice.
No, Saturday there was practice.
Yeah, sure. Saturday and Sunday. Yeah, Saturday and Sunday. Yeah. You hear Cutter's voice saying this is because we can't do anything effing right.
And he's frustrated.
And then they're running the gassers. So the initial thought is, oh, this is the gassers that we've heard about in the news conference. Well, if you look at the Hard Knocks video, the whole team's running gassers. There's not one fan in the stands. And they're on the sideline look, there's not one media person or anybody else. It's the team only.
So it could have been a walkthrough and
so
gassers?
It could have been gassers during a walkthrough. It could have been a totally different time. We don't know. But what we do know is that it wasn't Saturday when Roy Cummings and the rest of the media and fans saw the team running gassers. So it was Sunday, rather. So
Again, creative editing
in a lot of ways. Or maybe it wasn't creative editing because Hard Knocks isn't responsible for Roy Cummings' interplay with the head coach. Maybe this team is running a lot more gassers than we know about. It's just not for us to see.
Which goes back to what you initially brought up at the start of the podcast. There's a pattern of bad practices here.
That's beyond dispute, Steve. The fact that Cutter is not happy with the energy, the tempo of practices in the last week and a half, and that's a concern.
Well, all is not dark, Ira. I'll run this quote by you. I talked to Cameron Brate today. and asked him, hey, is the standard raised for practice this year? Is that what the problem is? Like, are you guys practicing the same, but Cutter has raised the bar? You guys are struggling to hit it? And Brait said, 100%. The standard is higher. We were trying to achieve more. We're harder on ourselves as well.
Once again, going back to a former Kaufman podcast remark, Steve, where I said this will be a much harder camp because Cutter has higher expectations.
Validate some of your sage wisdom.
Again, young man.
Sage wisdom. Anyway, Brait said that that is a factor. And, you know, where that goes from here, we don't know. But he said, you know, agreed they need to bring more energy. But the standard is higher for practice because he said specifically 9-7 dictates that.
And, Steve, that is the big picture. And you were there today when I asked Cutter a more specific question. Along the same lines, we heard the exchange between Cutter and Winston after that bonehead play. And there's no other way to describe it. Lee, he could have got hurt on that play. Never mind the fact that he made a terrible football decision. Cutter reamed him out, you know, with some choice language. And I asked Cutter, you know, basically I was trying to say, would you have said that 2 years ago when he was a rookie? Now he's got 32 starts. And everything is heightened. Everything is raised. And Lee, I think that's one of the stories of training camp, and I don't think it's a bad story, is things that might have, you know, you might have got away with, cut a little slack even a year ago in Cutter's first season as a head coach. That's not going over because Cutter himself and the Glazers on top of him and Light have a lot of expectations for this team. It's not just the fans that expect big things. Cutter thinks this is a playoff team. And he's going to be pissed if they fritter it away. And I think that's a good thing.
Well, they're arguably a playoff team last year. Save a couple kicks, a couple plays here or there. The first Hard Knocks episode, Cutter even told Winston that. He goes, it may not be fair to you, but we need you at a certain level. I'm paraphrasing, of course. That the footage of Cutter and Winston after that bonehead play, I would use choicer language than that to describe it. I thought it was perfect. First, obviously, Cutter's initial reaction was he was just outraged.
But then he quickly says, you're playing a great half.
Yeah.
So it's not all negative.
Well, I that's what I'm getting at. It was a perfect scolding. He got his point across, got the point across that he was extremely hacked off, but he didn't tear him to shreds like a Bobby Knightwood or a Parcells. You know, you're better than this. You know, you're better than this. You had, like you said, you had a perfect half. And you throw it away like it was a perfect scolding. He got his point across, got the another point across that he was extremely PO'd and they expected more from him, but also gave him some positive reinforcement at the same time. You're better than
this. Steve, he did the same thing with Quan Alexander on the hold. You just cost us a football game. That's what's in Cutter's mind. One game. Is going to be the difference.
One play.
He's probably right.
One play.
Yeah, that was also practice. A little bit different.
I understand.
But, yeah, the point is there. The urgency, it all expresses the extreme urgency.
And he took on the two faces of the franchise in a way on both sides of the ball.
Don't give me that look.
Made for television. And speaking of extreme urgency, those offers, Ira, Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, the end of the month is coming up. That's when they end. At month's end, they might be extended a few days, might be extended to Labor Day. Keep checking. Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa.com, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon.com.
You're going to kick yourself if you don't take advantage.
But now is the time. All right, Kaufman, more on Hard Knocks. What else stood out as you enjoyed your sherbet and your peach iced tea? What else was popping off the screen?
Well, Lee, there's no getting around it. And we said this a month ago before the first Hard Knocks episode. I was wrong. You know, look, I validated a couple of times. Now I'm wrong. I said Quan Alexander was going to emerge as a voice. He's been an afterthought. Nothing with Quan Alexander. Jameis Winston is the man.
Yeah.
He was going to be the man a month ago, and he's still the man. And I think from a Buck perspective, I think it's been all positive. People in Kansas City and Seattle who don't know anything about Jameis Winston are seeing that. The natural leadership skills just jump off the screen. Maybe even too much. I mean, getting in Peyton Barber. I mean, the guy's, you know, played one season and didn't play a lot last
year.
That
goes back to what we were talking about earlier.
But
urgency.
But it's the details.
Yes.
It's the details. So, Steve, that's the story of Hard Knocks. If you're going to wrap it up through 3 weeks, is Jameis Winston introduced on center stage to a national audience. And If I'm sitting out there in middle America, I like what I see. And I'm saying to myself, why don't we have one of those guys like Jameis Winston, a 23-year-old like that?
Well, I found out doing a little bit of research last night that this is one of the highest-rated Hard Knocks in years. The last one that was rated this high was, of all teams, the Houston Texans. Although Houston's a pretty big market. It's a football, like Florida, it's a football-hungry area. The Winston thing is interesting. I wrote about this yesterday on JoeBucksFan.com. I can't remember the guy's name. Erskine is his last name. E-R...
Howard?
No. You're thinking the guy from Philly. Okay. His Los Angeles Times. I don't know his first name offhand. Last name's Erskine with an E. Two E's.
Okay.
He wrote a column where he basically admitted, you know, he believed the Jameis stereotype. And the stereotype outside the state of Florida is this guy's basically a walking felon, a con artist, a guy who skated the criminal justice, you name it. And he's watching Hard Knocks. He goes, you know what? My mind's changed about Winston. He goes, leadership is difficult to figure out, difficult to point out, difficult, and I'm paraphrasing here, difficult to come around, but, quote, Winston is dripping with it. And this guy says every scene he sees with Jameis, he becomes more and more of a fan. And I think that was part of the reason the Bucks wanted Hard Knocks. They claimed they didn't want it. But it was to change the narrative, the national narrative, that Jameis is a psychopath that people
and
think he is.
And he was like this, Steve. The bigger point is he was like this before the Hard Knocks cameras ever invaded Tampa. We saw it for 2 years on a consistent basis. Now, one more point about Hard Knocks I want to make, Steve. Very little gets past you two gentlemen. And I use that... that phrase, I was going to say clowns, but I changed it to gentlemen. Very little gets past you.
Thank you.
And by
Eric.
That I mean, and it was a throwaway line. It was a 20-second spot. But again, you guys nail it. DeSean Jackson, you know, where's the football? I touched it once. What's going on?
In practice.
Again, Steve, something that you can laugh about, a diva receiver, blah, blah, blah. But we talked about DeSean Jackson in the weeks after they signed him as a free agent. Hey, is there any drawbacks, any negatives besides the fact he's 30 or whatever? And I said, well, he's got diva potential. You know, he's one of those guys that thinks that the way to win goes through him. Part of that is what makes these guys outstanding.
Mm-hmm,
part,
yes.
You know, Odell Beckham's the same way. And I think Evans is the same way. You know, but not over the top. But, Steve, he did say a couple of things in a preseason game. You know, I've gone a long time without touching the ball.
It was a practice.
It was a practice. So all I'm saying is, if they start off 1-3, it's going to be a problem.
Don't say that, Ira.
I said if.
Well, don't even say it.
And they've done that the last 2 years, so I'm not talking out of the box here.
Yeah, what's the alternative? Getting rid of him?
No,
come on.
No. But I'm saying these guys want the football. Now, Jerry Rice was like that, too.
Yes.
I've been told.
You've been told. You don't have to be told. Like, yeah. When he was wired up for the Super Bowl against the Bucks, he was throwing his helmet on
now
the ground.
Now, that's Jerry Rice, yeah. Steve. That's Jerry Rice, and he got a pass into Canton. And DeSean Jackson's not getting a pass into Canton, although he's put a hell of a career together.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know, a little off-the-cuff remark by DeSean Jackson, it might be telling down the
line.
Yeah,
it was pretty telling, I thought, just to his mindset. And it's
who
such,
was he talking to, the position coach?
No, I looked. It wasn't the position coach. It was just some sort of staffer. I don't know.
Okay.
But his mindset's awesome. I mean, if he cares that much in practice, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
What these the antithesis of Chris Baker, you know, in that situation, but it doesn't bode well for, like you said, is he going to bring that to the huddle? That's what I wrote. Will he bring that to the huddle? And that would be a brand new negative vibe for Jameis. One thing I haven't written it yet. I've got it stashed away. Jameis had some one-on-one time with Orlando Sentinel columnist.
Diaz?
What's his name?
Diaz.
Yeah, this was a couple of weeks ago. And one of the things in there, the telling quote in there, was Jameis saying, I don't like negativity. And just Jameis going on a rant about how he hates negativity. And I heard, saw that Jackson was like, well, what happens if he brings that to the huddle? Is Jameis going to tell him, we don't do that here? Is he going to say that to DeSean Jackson? I don't know. But hopefully it never happens. Hopefully it never happens.
The beauty about Hard Knocks is how they set that scene up. Just prior to that, Jameis was talking to Gruden and Rex Ryan, which was a great scene all itself. And Jameis is saying, you know, why wouldn't I throw the ball to Mike Evans? And so
yeah,
and then he hates DeSean Jackson. Whoa, give me the rock, man.
Yeah.
So that was the beauty of Hard Knocks. And what about Rex Ryan? Hey, I'm jealous now. I'm watching you. I never had a quarterback like you. And then Gruden saying, what do you think about me? I live in Tampa. All my kids have Jameis Winston jerseys.
Yeah. I mean, Gruden's all in on Winston. And has been, I think, since he had him at the quarterback camp.
Yeah, just a.
But I think Winston has grown on Gruden, even.
Well, he grew on Gruden at that camp. I mean, there were a couple of, I remember scenes in that quarterback camp when, you know, James was in the draft.
But he loved Mariota too.
He loved Mariota too. But you could tell how there was a couple of things about Winston where Gruden was genuinely wowed, like, oh my gosh. And then, you know, a lot of Bucs fans, they remember how harsh he was on Winston at the draft. You know, and what I told people, and I still tell people, what Chucky says in private and what Chucky says in public are two different things. But he genuinely is in Winston's camp now.
Yeah, go back to the QB camp, Ira, and watch Chucky with Mike Glennon. He loved him, too. He compared him to Brett Favre.
Well, there were a couple instances, though, when Jameis said something, you could tell just by Gruden's reaction, like, holy smokes. Like, one was about protection coverages. He's like, Jameis, what'd you just do? And Winston was like, what are you talking about? He goes, you protected yourself. And, you know, Gruden was flabbergasted by that.
We've learned two things about Ryan Fitzpatrick, Steve. One, his better days are behind him. I don't have any problem saying that. I think he'd probably agree with it. Two, he's got a heck of a sense of humor. It's dry. And he had a little chat with Winston and talking about his rhymes or whatever.
Too long.
But I liked it. Yeah, he didn't like it. He said, but I liked it. Winston just smiled. Winston knew that he didn't like it. But Fitzpatrick, you know, we know how smart he is. But he's got that dry sense of humor.
There's actually a third thing we found out about Ryan Fitzpatrick. Dude's got better legs than an arm.
Yeah, how do you, you know, you didn't expect him to run in for a touchdown in week one of the preseason.
And even in practice, his best plays are running plays. Which, I guess, to put a positive spin on that, you can't overthrow anybody if you're running the ball.
Guys, am I stretching things on Riley Bulla, who's one of these subplots?
Perfect word, subplot.
Yeah, subplot, and he's made some plays. You know, he's quick to the ball. But, Steve, am I reading too much into when they asked Cutter about Riley Bulla? You know the first thing Cutter said? It's a numbers game.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't want to presuppose anything, but Bulla's going to have a tough time making this team. I think it's going to be difficult. Not impossible, but difficult, as well as he's playing.
Yeah, sure. I mean, he's playing against the second half slappies. You know, all the guys we joke about, the future grad students, beer truck drivers, mattress movers.
He's not a third round mattress pick, movers. You know.
That's who he's playing.
Do these mattress
against.
Movers deliver to Mike Williams' house or yard, I should say.
But he's giving it his best shot. He's hustling his butt.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing a good job. He obviously has intangibles, and you know what? A lot of times they will look for intangibles with those bottom guys.
Got a little swagger to him.
And we'll see.
Fabulous.
We'll see if he makes the practice squad, if he goes that route. What a great guy to have on the scout team because he's a football family. He's going to study intently. He's going to get the scout team defense all revved up. And, you know, it's a good guy to have there with some energy. I remember years ago, Raheem Morris actually got on the podium and told everybody that Kareem Huggins was like their best practice player. You remember him, the it's running the scout team and, you know, like their fourth string running back.
Couldn't stop talking about
Kareem Huggins. It's like, is that where we've gone, Raheem? That's your top guy.
You know what scene I thought was interesting? In the hotel room, doing like a little bit of a walkthrough in the hotel room with Deshaun Jackson. There might have been another guy in the room with
McNichols,
James.
A rookie.
Yeah, McNichols. I think that gives fans, I don't think they realize the work that these guys put in.
You mean with Jameis when that little sit down in the room?
Yeah, a hotel room.
Yeah, well, not just that. And that was also...
He was barking out some play calls, and he wanted to see if McNichols knew the nomenclature.
Well, that was also how, as I referenced earlier, how beautiful setup that was, Hard Knocks, where Winston's talking about why wouldn't you want to throw the Mike Evans, then we showed Deshaun Jackson, well, I need the rock. And then right after that, Deshaun Jackson, McNichols, and Jameis, by themselves, going over plays. So if Deshaun Jackson was that hacked off, why would he put in the extra time at night with Jameis and a rookie? So,
did you get any insights out of the Doug Martin conversation other than he's pretty nifty on a skateboard?
Yeah, two things. First, let me go here, Ira. Monday night, if anybody wants to play fantasy football with you, get in a league with Ira Kaufman, believe it or not.
We'll have some fun Monday night.
Live draft at Hooters on Hillsborough Avenue in Tampa, Monday evening. All the details at joebucksfan.com. How to enter, it's all free, some good prizes, and not the prizes that are in addition, Ira. Prizes in addition to just hanging out with you.
commish could show up, right?
And we're pretty sure Justin Pulaski will be out there as well. I don't know for sure. But either way, all of the details on JoeBucksFan.com to enter. Also, of course, your Miami party, still wide open. Going to be already looking at 150-ish people between RSVPs and others.
That's a big number, Lee.
That's the night before the game in Miami. Bucks fans party,
right?
Miramar, Florida, at the Hampton Inn. FanRetreat.com/Miami has all the details. FanRetreat.com/Miami. Free food, free beer, free IRA, free fun. Great time. Fan Retreat guys are really going all out to throw a nice event. And back to Hard Knocks.
Well, I got a quick question about the fantasy draft.
Yeah.
And since I'm asking this question, there are some astute listeners that could see this coming down Hillsborough Avenue. And I bet Ira is expecting this question, if not Steve. Just for clarification, you said there are prizes in this. Just so the knuckleheads don't misunderstand, am I assuming correctly that one of the calendar girls is not a prize? Well, she is a prize, but is not one of the prizes available.
Yes. These are not human prizes.
The comforts of mind racing away from him once again.
Right down Hillsborough Avenue.
I was asking you about Mr. Doug Martin, sir. Did you get anything out of the conversation? They finally mentioned the fact that he's under suspension, mm-hmm. that he was going to miss three games. They didn't get to Cutter or Light talking about him, but we've had enough of that mm-hmm. conversation. You know, Martin continues to be apologetic, says he let his teammates down, which he did. But again, it's an open question about the future of Doug Martin.
I'm not going to spend a lot of time speculating, Ira. I will say that the Hard Knocks opportunity there to shed light on the Martin situation, there was no light shed. None whatsoever. No backroom conversation.
No indications of what his future is.
No film room conversation of Cutter saying, man, this guy looks better than, nothing that you could read into at all. Although Martin did get up there, look in the camera and say, I need to be a better vet, which I thought was interesting.
Enlightening, maybe.
I don't know, but you could read that in many, many ways.
I guess he might take McNichols under his wing, Lee.
He has.
Yeah.
Hope it's the right wing, not the left wing.
I don't think we're going to see a lot of Doug Martin Saturday night. I mean, I'd be surprised.
No, and let's go to Saturday night. Ira, third preseason game, the dress rehearsal. We already talked about the guys
who's not going to play.
Guys who you think won't play because of sorted injuries and precautionary measures. What are you looking for in that game?
I'm going to look for O.J. Howard, Lee, to get a little more involved. I think he's done a nice job blocking. He hasn't caught a lot of passes, especially if Evans doesn't play. DeSean Jackson's got nothing to prove, Lee. I'm looking for a lot of Godwin and O.J. Howard on Saturday night. I'm looking for a lot of Jacquizz Rodgers. Now, Buck fans who were very concerned about Rodgers toting the rock as the primary ball carrier for the first 3 weeks, I think he's going to inherit that role. I do. And I think Cutter and Mike Smith are fully behind that. And what's the one thing Cutter has said definitively about Saturday night? Jacquizz Rodgers is going to see a lot of action.
Interesting.
That's what he said.
Because I talked to Rodgers after practice, and I'm going to write this up later for JoeBucksFan.com. I specifically asked him about, this is a dress rehearsal for September 10th at Miami. We know Martin is going to be out of commission for 3 weeks. Are you going to be the main ball carrier Thursday night? Are you going to be carrying the rock a lot? And I also asked him, are you going to carry the rock a lot the first 2 weeks of the season? He's like, well, that's not yet decided. But Cutter obviously said contrary to that.
Yeah, so. And he's not going to play much at all in week four. And he's just not. And we understand that. Steve, we talked about this on the field. I think it's worth repeating. This is a big moment for Jacquizz Rodgers. It's a big moment because he's always had a lot of skeptics. He's a big player. We give him 5 carries. We give him 3 pass receptions, in Atlanta behind another back. This is a chance, and I've been on record saying, the first 3 weeks are going to tell the tale of Doug Martin. When he's sitting there doing nothing mm-hmm. and can't help himself, it's going to help forge Doug Martin's future. And Rodgers is the guy that's on the spot. This is a big chance for him.
Well, I've said this many times.
And if he doesn't show those first 3 games, he's going to go back into his role as the third or fourth back on this team, And that's going to be his future in this league.
Well, I've written this many times on JoeBucksFan.com over the past year, year and a half. He was cut by the Bears. Let's not forget this. The brutal Bears. He couldn't make the final 53 with the Bears. He was on the sidewalk. And outside of injuries, he may never have come to the Bucks. I mean, there's a reason the brutal Bears got rid of him. The brutal Bears. And
you know,
say,
his size hurts him.
Well,
Steve,
you know,
it hurts him.
The deal with the Bears. People say, oh, you know, the Bears drafted a running back. If you got a good running back, you're going to keep him as a reserve, not going to just toss him away. And he was out there for the picking. You know, a lot of other teams could have had him.
But I will say this, guys, and we got to acknowledge this. In the game that the Bucks had to win at Charlotte on a Monday night.
He was key.
When they were 1-3, I believe. He got 30 carries. He got about 10 carries in the first quarter.
Oh, yeah.
And set the tone, the physical tone, for that game when nobody on the Bucks was running the ball well. Those first 3 weeks.
Wasn't it like
he got the job done.
I think it was like an NFL record that he carried like 11 consecutive times or something like that.
But he finished with 30
carries.
Close
to it. Close to it.
I don't expect that in Miami, but I expect 15 to 20. He's going to have an opportunity, Lee, to get a big piece of this Buck running game.
Yes.
And we'll see if he drops the ball, so to speak.
Oh.
Yeah, I talked to him actually in depth about the opportunity. Yeah, I'll probably write it up. Maybe today's Thursday podcast might show up here. Today on Joe Bucks Fan, about the magnitude of the opportunity, how does he recognize that you know you're a short running back that has been sort of cast aside from being considered as a number one guy, and now you know that you're going out there as a number one, and you know what, if you perform well, you'll have a chance to run this all the way through to the end of the season.
For a good football,
and you could be a 1,300 yard rusher. You know, as long as you just keep producing, no one's going to replace you. So he talked about that, and he appreciates it. He said to me actually. I was in that mindset last year that, wow, here I am for going into a game. I am the number one back, and I got my shot, and he believes he made the most of his shot. The Bears thing's interesting only because they've been so stupid with personnel moves in recent years. I mean, no,
but they found a good running back.
But I mean that in
year.
All seriousness. He was, you know, they waived him at the end, and the Bucks picked him, cut him, and the Bucks picked him up immediately. But, I mean, they just picked up Aguayo's whole salary. These guys. They didn't even wait till him to clear. They picked up his whole salary.
What's going on in the Windy
They
City
signed
league.
Mike, gave Mike Glenn an $18 million.
Well, I know their general manager went to the same Higher Institute of Learning as I did, so I suspect he had way too many beers at Cam's.
You know, Steve, one last thing about Jack Quiz.
Yes, and then we're going to wrap up. All right.
One last
final
thing.
Note.
And, you know, I talked about his opportunity. And you know what's part of it? He's got a head coach that believes in him. He's got a head coach that knows what he can do.
That's why he's here.
And, you know, Mike Smith adds his 2 cents. Mike Smith's a believer. So the field is wide open for Jacquizz Rodgers. Can he do it? Will he do it? We don't know that. But he's going to get a chance here.
That's the very same reason the Bucks picked up Anton Smith last year, because Cutter was familiar with him.
And you know what? Rodgers proved it. Last year he ran great. Ran great, yard and a half more per carry than Doug Martin.
I mean, same line.
Take away that great game, he was a full yard better than Doug Martin all year long. So what an opportunity for the guy at 5'5" 3/4. He might be, if he's successful this year, one of the best stories in the NFL. 5'5". It's the NFL in 2017.
Journeyman. Back.
Yes.
I mean, just a unique player and specimen in the whole shot. All right, Kaufman, it has been fun. It's been real. It's been filled with sage wisdom.
We'll have another game behind us when we meet again.
We'll be back Tuesday as we wrap.
And camp will be over.
Game late. Three, camp will be over.
Thankfully.
You'll be finished walking around, schmoozing with everybody, glad-handing, hounding the Glazers.
I got 2 episodes left to get on Hard Knocks, gentlemen. Well, what's going on here?
Get out of here, Aaron.